Boy, that was good, wasn't it? Amen. Boy, that was some. I like to hear songs about God's word changing lives. Amen. I love to hear songs about God's word. And boy, it's been a blessing. I'm like you. I'm like the preacher. I got a lot of mixed emotion. You know what I'm saying tonight, and it's always, you know, I've been living with y'all all week. I mean, literally, I've been living with you, amen. I've been living in your church building, amen. And I've eaten with you, I've laughed with you, I've cried with you, I've shouted with you, I've rejoiced with you, I've seen with you, amen. And I've been going soul winning with you, and literally, like I said, I've lived with you all week. I've been in the church building while you're here, amen. And I've been right with you, and I've, you know, I got attached to you last year, and seemed like this year is even more. You know, it just seemed like the more you come again, of course, it's good to see some new faces, amen. New people, new family, and it's a blessing there to be with you and meet you and go just share the ministry together, amen. And hey, I know it's warm, amen. I've got a coat on, amen. And I don't know how long I'll keep it on, amen. But Dr. Vineyard used to say, Jim Vineyard used to say, you preachers haven't done your job till your underwear's wet with sweat. Well, folks, I've earned my job tonight, amen, already, amen, amen. And I'm soaking already, amen. But it's just a blessing to be. Hey, that's okay. Listen, it's okay to sweat. Because with that fan on you, it'll cool you down, amen? And you get wet, and then that wind comes, it'll cool you down and all that. But I don't know why I just decided to do this. But I y'all want to hear me and the preacher sing a song together? He doesn't know yet. He doesn't know we're going to sing a song together, amen? Amen. And now it's country music, but no, I'm just kidding. Amen. I'm just kidding. Amen. Amen. Oh, my. But we're going to sing a song together. Preacher, come on up here and let's sing together. Amen.
You want to hear this voice?
Yeah. You sure you want to hear this voice? Amen. And
they might all be gone by
give me
the time
a piano player up here. And we're going to sing this song right here.
All
right. Till the storm passes by. Amen.
Amen.
We're going to sing that one together. And does this one work too? Can you get both of them working at the same time? Can you get both of them working? All right, preacher. You got one? I got one here. Is it on? All right. Let's.
Not plugged in?
Yeah. Oh, they're not plugged in. They got that one, a green one on? Got the green one on? Is the green one on? Okay, the green one's on. Okay, all right. Let's sing this song together. Here, give us a you know, little get going. A one and a two and a three. Amen. Here we go. All right. Okay. Amen. Till the storm passes by. In the dark of the midnight, have I oft hid my face? While the storm howls above me, and there's no hiding place, mid the crash of the thunder, precious Lord, hear my cry, keep me safe, till the storm passes by. Till the storm passes over, till the thunder sounds no more, till the clouds roll forever from the sky. Hold me fast.
let me stand in the hollow of thy hand. Keep me safe till the storm passes by. Many times,
listen to this.
Satan whispers, there is no need to try. For there's no end of sorrow, there's no hope by and by. But I know thou art with me, and tomorrow I'll rise where the storm never darkens the skies. Till the storm passes over, till the thunder sounds no more, till the clouds roll forever from the sky. Hold me fast, let me stand in the hollow of thy hand. Keep me safe till the storm passes by. When the long night has ended and the storms come no more, let me stand in thy presence on that bright, peaceful shore, in that land where the tempest never comes. Lord, may I dwell with thee when the storm passes by.
Amen. Everybody sing it.
Till the storm passes over, till the thunder sounds no more, till the clouds roll forever from the sky. Hold me fast, let me stand in the hollow of thy hand.
Let's keep me safe. Sing it again.
Keep me safe.
Sing it again.
Keep me safe till the storm passes by.
Amen.
Praise the Lord, preacher.
Amen. Oh, my boy. That'll make a Methodist shout tonight. Amen. Oh, boy. We need a bus to travel now. Amen. 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 Get us a bus, amen. Get one of them old buses out there, amen. And boy, what a blessing, boy. I'm glad that we are in the hollow of his hand, amen. And he'll keep you safe in any storm tonight, amen. Boy, I tell you, I've enjoyed being here. I've enjoyed being with God's people tonight. And preacher, thank you, thank you, thank you, everything, for everything. Thank you for the food. Thank you for the fellowship. Thank you for the prayers and everything, you know. And boy, what a blessing it's been fellowshipping with you people and all that. And I reached over tonight. I was sitting by your preacher, and I leaned over, and I said, preacher, I just want to tell you I love you. I love you. And I pray every week for this church. There's never a week don't go by every Tuesday morning like clockwork. I pray for this preacher, his family, this church. I pray for you every week. And many times I'll be traveling alone. I think I just swallowed one of them bugs. Amen. It's probably my uncle reincarnated. Amen. 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 But I think I just swallowed one of them. Amen. I got protein in me now. Amen. But I don't come back up, buddy. Amen. Stay back down. Amen. And I was, and, but I was, you know, I think many times I'm traveling down the road and God will put you all on my heart. And I'll think about you. And I'll pray for you. And Brother Rick, sometimes I think about you. I'll be riding down the road and think about you and there. Because it's just hard to forget a face like that one. Amen. 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 No, and I think about different folks, Brother Ron, and different folks in your church that I just picture y'all, you know, and the Lord will put your face on my mind and there, and I think about you there, and I guess what I'm just trying to tell you tonight, I love y'all. I love y'all. Y'all are a blessing to me. You've been a blessing to me, and I, all I ask you to do is pray for me. Pray for me. Pray for me. Now, it's funny, preacher. I'm not kidding. All this week, I've been limping around. I've had pain. They said I got a bone spur or something, but I've been limping around. But it didn't stop me, amen. I kept limping on for Jesus, amen. Kept limping on. But it was really hurt me today. It was just really hurt me. But I'm not kidding. I am not kidding. I'm a little nervous to say this. But when we got down to pray a while ago, I said, Lord, would you please touch my foot? Would you help my foot just to quit hurt? And I'm not kidding, preacher. When I walked off this platform to go down to shake hands, it quit hurting just like that. Quit hurting just like that. Amen. And now I'm not a faith healer. Amen. I'm not a faith healer, but I believe God can heal. And I said, Lord, my foot's hurting tonight. It's just hurting. And I said, Lord, please make it comfortable, you know, so I can preach. Amen. That it's not on my mind. And God did that. Amen. Hey, did you hear about the faith healer? That reminded me of a joke. Amen. Did you hear about the faith healer? He said, is anybody out there? He said, anybody out there got a speech problem? He said, I feel like there's somebody out there got a speech problem. And about that time, an old boy came up and he said, what's your name? He said, My name's Fred. He said, I can't speak well. He said, all right. He said, go behind that curtain there. Go behind the curtain there. And he said, then he said, hey, is there anybody out there that can't walk good, you're on crutches or something like that? He said, come on up. Well, this guy come hobbling up on crutches. And he said, what's your name? He said, my name's George. My name's George. He said, all right. Said, George, go behind that curtain right there. Y'all stand behind that curtain. And he said, all right. He said, you're healed. Just like that. He said, you're healed. He said, George, throw your crutches out. Here come crutches flying out from behind the curtain. He said, Fred, say something. And Fred said, George fell down. Amen, amen. Amen. Oh, my, buddy. Amen. I don't know if I got that kind of power. Amen. But I want to say tonight, God's good. Amen. God's good. And it's a blessing to be here tonight. You know, I prayed and I said, and preacher, I didn't get a chance to meet you, but thank God for your faithfulness of preaching all these years. And I think he told me you lost your wife a couple years ago. How did she pass away, preacher? Cancer. I lost my wife 4 years ago with bone cancer. So I know what you feel tonight, brother. I know exactly what you feel. As soon as the preacher told me, I feel like I could reach out and feel you tonight because I know exactly, you know, how you feel tonight. And I'm going to tell you, it's lonely. It's a lonely life, brother. Lonely road to travel, you know. But God's there, ain't he, brother? God is. You don't get to feel God until you're in that situation. I mean, really know God's with you, amen, to you alone. Mike, I'm glad you're back tonight. Amen. He come every night since he got saved. Amen. Been coming every night. Mike, I love you, buddy, and I'm so glad I had the privilege of leading you to the Lord. And you stay faithful, brother. You keep coming to this church, okay? And just stay faithful and let God use you. Let God use you, buddy. I'm glad you're here tonight. I want you to take your Bibles tonight. By the way, that's the old King James Bible. Amen. And I'll be honest with you. I don't want to change. Amen. I don't want to change. I just have been preaching this way for 42 years, and there's just no need of changing. Amen. And just keep going and preaching from this old book. But I want you to take your Bibles tonight. I want you to go to Acts chapter 28. Acts chapter 28. And verse 1 tonight. Let's stand out of respect to the Word of God tonight. I'll try to move on here. Acts chapter 28. Going to loosen my tie tonight. Amen. Amen. I'll tell you, when I get to heaven, whoever, if that old boy's up there that created these things, I'm going to hang him with one of them. Amen. I'm going to hang him with one of them. Amen. And but we got him. Amen. And but look in verse 1. The Bible says, "And when they were escaped, then they knew that the island was called Melita." By the way, this is a shipwreck now. Paul had been shipwrecked and they're on an island here. But the Bible says that they were on the island called Melita. In verse 2, "And the barbarous people showed us no little kindness, for they kindled a fire and received us every one because of the present rain and because of the cold. And when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, there came a viper out of the heat and fastened on his hand. And when the barbarians saw the venomous beast hang on his hand, they said among themselves, 'No doubt this man's a murderer, whom, though he had escaped the sea, yet vengeance suffers not to live.'" Now, folks, look at me just a minute. Paul was sitting by this fire, and all of a sudden, this snake came out and grabbed a hold of Paul's hand. Now, undoubtedly, he didn't shake it off real quick because they had time to say all this. Amen? They had time to say all these things while that snake's hanging on his hand. Now, folks, I don't know about you, but if a snake comes out of fire and grabs my hand, I'm going to get full of the Holy Ghost. Amen? Can I have amen? And I'm going to do some shaking. Amen? But the Bible says that thing came out and grabbed his hand. But I want you to look in verse 5, though. And then the Bible says, "And he shook off the beast unto the fire and felt no harm." Now, howbeit, look in verse 6. I think this is hilarious. I think it's hilarious that these boys are sitting around waiting for him to swell up and die. That sounds like a bunch of Baptists to me. Amen. Yeah, they ain't going to make it. Amen. They ain't going to make it. Amen. And but look what he said in verse 6. "Howbeit, they looked, and when he should have swollen or fallen down dead suddenly, but after they had looked the grave." See, I don't know about you, but I'd be trying to get a snake bite kit or something for the old boy. Amen? But they wasn't even, they're just sitting up there waiting for him to die. Just sitting around waiting for him to swell up and die. But look what the Bible says. "But after they had looked a great while and saw no harm come to him, they changed their minds and said that he was a god." Father, I ask you tonight, this is the last message now that I'm going to preach tonight, this week, Lord. And And Lord, it will be tonight, and then I take off somewhere else and try to encourage some preacher and stir some church and see somebody else get saved, Lord. And God, I'm asking you tonight that you'd fill this preacher. I'm asking you, Lord, that you would give me a fresh dose of heaven tonight. Lord, I need you, God. I can't even breathe without you, God. And I need the fullness of the Holy Spirit tonight. And Lord, I thank you for these dear people. I thank you, oh, what precious people they are. And God, I pray that you'll use them in Terre Haute, Indiana. And Lord, that great, great things will come because of the result of this meeting. I pray for this preacher. I pray that your hand will be on his life. Lord, I pray that the power of God would fall on this preacher. And the mighty hand of God would move through this church. And revival would break out, God. Now, Lord, use me tonight. And I promise you, Lord, that whatever's done tonight in this tent tonight, I promise you, Lord, that when I get back to that room that I'll do like I did Sunday morning, Sunday night, Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Thursday night. I'll lay it flat on my face on that floor and I'll give God all the glory because you deserve every bit of it in your precious, holy, wonderful, magnificent name, Jesus. Amen. Amen. You may be seated there. I played football. I played 9 years of football. I love football. I go to football camp every year. I've been going 20 years plus to football camp. I love football. I just love football. I mean, I just love to see a quarterback get creamed. Amen. It just thrills my heart. Amen. Of course, you can't touch them today. Amen. Amen. But I love to see them literally smash each other. I love to hear the bones break. Amen. I love to see the nose broke. I love to see the blood and everything else, long as it's not mine. Amen. I love to watch it. But I played football. I played 9 years. I had a scholarship offer to go Carolina and play football and there when Lawrence Taylor was there. I had the opportunity to play football there and stuff and I met Lawrence Taylor. I met him and stuff. But the truth of the matter is you know, I'll never forget when we played East Rowan High School. East Rowan had a running back named Rick Van Hoy. Rick Van Hoy weighed 240 pounds, and he was a running back. Now, folks, running backs are not supposed to be that big. Amen? And I'm going to tell you what, buddy, when you hit that guy, I think you got a better chance hitting that telephone pole or that letter pole out there, amen, and moving it than you could Rick Van Hoy. He was solid as a rock. Matter of fact, I preached in a church not long ago that most of his kin folks were in that church. But Rick, I'll never forget though, we played East Rowan. And they had and those of you don't know about football, I'm gonna give you a little lesson tonight, amen, on football. And so I'll never forget. I played defensive tackle, defensive nose guard, but I was lined up over the guard, over the offense. I'm the defense. My job's to tackle the quarterback. Amen. My job's to get in there and break things up. My job's to stop the guy running with the ball, you know, and get in there and interrupt things. Well, I had a guard over me, and about that time the quarterback came up there and he said, "Ready, set, hike." And when they hiked the ball, the guy in front of me that's supposed to be blocking me, he all of a sudden takes one step back and takes off down the line. It's called a pulling guard, if you know football. It's called a pulling guard. And he's going down around the end to block somebody. Well, my hole is open. Nobody's there to block me. And I saw the quarterback right there with the ball. And I said, "Uh-huh." I said, "I'm going to hit you." Amen. I mean, I'm going to hit you hard. Amen. And I took off in there not knowing it was a trick play. It was a trick play. Well, by that time, the offensive end guy come running down the line. He hit me from the side. And he cold cocked me. Amen. He hit me so hard, he knocked my helmet up on my head. I mean, it was up on top of my head, brother. I had no protection. I had no protection whatsoever. Well, then they hand the ball off to that moose, Rick Van Hoy. And Rick comes running full speed, and with his helmet, he hit me right here in the face with that helmet, with me no protection. He knocked my nose over here. I'm not kidding. He snapped my nose. He broke my nose. I can't smell anything today. I can't. I'm not a good smeller. Because he broke my nose. You may stink and I don't know it. Amen. But he knocked my nose over here. He broke this tooth out. I mean, it's a partial tooth. And then he dislocated my shoulder. I mean, he hit me so hard, brother, that my arm's hanging, my nose is over here, and my tooth broke out, and I go running to the sideline to Coach Steele. Coach Steele was a drill sergeant in the Army, if that explains anything, amen? And I go running to the sideline, and I said, "Come Steele! Come down. I said, my nose is broke. I said, my tooth is gone. I said, my shoulder's broke." And I'll never forget Coach Deal. I'll never forget Coach Deal. He looked at me, and he did like this. He said, "How many fingers I got up?" I said, "Two." He said, "You're all right. Get back in that game. Amen. Shake it off." He said, "Shake it off and get back in the game." And folks, you know what I did? I was dumb enough to believe that I was supposed to shake it off. Amen. And I go with blood. I remember they took a towel, just wiped my face and my arm. The rest of that game, I went back and played the rest of that game with my arm hanging, my nose broke, my tooth gone, amen, and played the rest of the game. We were losing at halftime. We were losing 28-7. But after that, I came back in, and we came back, and we won that game 32-28, amen. I remember us throwing the coaches in the shower after the game, and I tried to drown Coach Steele, amen. But you say, what are you trying to say? I'm trying to tell you that just like Paul had to shake that snake off, amen. By the way, that snake is a serpent, amen. Is a serpent. And let me tell you something. Just as sure as I'm standing here tonight, there's a serpent out there. Amen. There's a devil that wants to sick his venom in you tonight and get you to quit and get you out of the game and get you to throw in the towel. Amen. And but you know what you got to learn to do as a Christian? Shake it off, amen? You got to learn to shake it off tonight. And we need more Christians tonight to learn to shake it off tonight. You know what? Hey, get your hand up tonight. Get your hand up. Everybody get your hand up, amen? All right, are you ready? When I say, when I go get the three, I want you to say, shake that hand and say, shake it off. Amen. Shake that hand. Here we go. Ready? One, two, three. Shake it off. Amen. And that's what you need to do with the devil. Amen. You need to learn to shake it off tonight. And you say, what is some of those? What you say? What are you trying to say? Shake it off. What are you talking about? What kind of stuff does the devil try to sink in you tonight? I preached this message at my church. I preached it when I was pastoring in Michigan. And I preached a whole message on shake it off. Just shake it off. Just shake it off. Amen. And you say, and I'll never forget, the next Monday morning I got a phone call from a lady in my church. And she said, Pastor, she said, I'm not trying to tell you what to preach. Of course not. Woman never tells you what to preach. Amen. And she said, I'm not. She was a real sweet lady. She said, Pastor, I'm not trying to tell you what to preach. She said, and that was a good message last night. But I have a problem. And I said, what is it? She said, you told us to shake it off, but I don't know how to shake it off. Now, I hate it when a woman calls me and tells me how to preach my messages. Amen. And she told me, she said, can you come back next week and preach a message on how to shake it off? How to shake it off. And I got off the phone, and for a minute I kind of brooded and stewed over that thing. I said, you know what I'm talking about, man, when your wife tried to tell you what to do. Can I have amen? Is this thing working? Can y'all hear me? When your wife trying to tell you what to do, and women don't. When you gonna learn, man? Every man knows how to do it. Amen, amen. Every man knows how to do it. Amen. And but you know what? When she told me that, and then finally, I the Holy Spirit said, yes, won't you come back and preach a message on how to shake it off tonight? I'm gonna give you some things to shake off. And the devil's going to sink it in you. Get ready. I said, get ready. Some of you are starting a soul win now. And the devil's going to come after you. I said, the devil's going to come after you. And he's going to try to sink his venom in you. Amen. And he's going to try to do some things tonight to get you to slow down, quit, and get discouraged and all that. And he's going to try to sink it in. But I'm going to show you tonight how to shake it off. Amen. How to shake it off. It's not going to do any good for me to tell you shake it off, not tell you how to shake it off. And I want to give you these things tonight. And let me give them to you. The first thing that I want you to see that the devil is going to sink in you, first of all, is that you need to learn to shake off discouragement. I said discouragement. Folks, I'm going to tell you, listen to me, you can mark it down, the devil's out there to discourage you. And by the way, he can use another Christian. Can I have amen? He can use another Christian to discourage you. Some of the people that are the closest to you can discourage you sometimes. They can discourage you sometimes. And he's waiting to discourage you. He's waiting. Hey, look. The devil. Oh, look. First of all, the devil don't want you saved. The devil does not want anybody saved. Can I have amen? It'd be fine with him if the whole world went to hell. But then you get saved, now he's mad. And now he's got to do something to discourage you. Is everybody with me? To keep somebody else from getting saved. Because he knows if he can get you down, then you're not going to want to pass out tracts. You're not going to go tell people about Jesus. Amen. So what is he going to do? He's going to try to discourage you and stick that venom in you to get you down and get you discouraged and put that frown on your face
and get you to quit.
Can I have amen?
So you say, well, preacher, how can I shake off discouragement? Easy. It's easy. Encourage. I said encourage. You say, what are you talking about? I'm talking about, why don't you start encouraging somebody else? Hey, when my wife died, after my wife died, old Satan was trying to discourage me. You know what I'm saying? He was trying to get me down and trying to get me out to just give up and quit and stuff like that. You know what I did, Pastor? I started every Monday morning a tradition. Every Monday morning. You know why? Because I was a pastor. And let me tell you, every Monday morning is a pastor's discouraged morning. I know. I know. I used to pastor. Either you had a down offering, amen, or either some Miss Susie Q run her mouth in the church, can I have amen? Amen. And spread rumors, starting trouble and things like that, and get the pastor down, get him discouraged. And I know what a pastor has experienced sometimes. Well, Monday morning is a pastor's graveyard. Amen. It's a pastor's discouraged time to go get down, stuff like that. So you know what I started doing? I decided I was going to pick 10 preachers every Monday morning to call and encourage. You know why? And when I started encouraging them, guess what it did to me? Can I have amen? It started encouraging me. Yeah. Look, when you feel that discouragement coming in, just start looking for somebody that's discouraged so you can encourage them. Amen? And pick their spirit up. And pick their heart up. Because I'll tell you what it'll do. It'll encourage you to keep going on for God. That's how you shake it off. How you shake off discouragement. Start encouraging somebody else. Amen? Start encouraging somebody. Because they're going to come back and say, thank you, thank you, thank you for caring for me. Thank you for helping me out. Thank you for lifting my spirit. Thank you. And it's going to encourage you. And that's how you shake it off. And then let me say this. Is that your wife again on that motorcycle? Amen. She got a radio turned up tonight. Amen. And then let me say this. Shake off hurt. Shake off hurt. I'm talking about hurt feelings. I'm talking about hurt feelings. Folks, listen to me. Listen to me. It's so easy to get your feelings hurt. Can I have amen? I mean, yeah, look, hurt people hurt people. You know that? And a lot of times people that hurt you, that got hurt feelings, that they're trying to hurt you, that means they're hurt about something. That means they're upset about something. Can I have amen? And so hurt feelings, look, when somebody hurts you, just shake it off. Shake it off. You say, well, how do I shake it off, preacher? How am I going to shake off hurt feelings? By helping someone's hurting. By going to the person that hurt you and help them. Is this ain't working? Can y'all hear me? Amen. You know hotter than I am. Amen. I'm hot. I'm hot up here. I mean, you know, but you know what? But look here. Let me tell you something. When you're just listening to this preacher that's been through this. Can I have amen? I didn't just fall off a pumpkin wagon. I've been working around people all these years, and I remember years ago. I remember years ago when I was in Bible college. I had this guy that literally hated me. I mean, literally hated me. Now look at me. How can you hate me? Amen. How in the world can you? I'm like a big old teddy bear. Amen. I mean, a preacher said today, Brother Brian's the only guy. They can smile at you and like he loved, and then shoot you right between the eyes. Amen. But the truth of the matter is that, you know, this guy, he was spreading rumors. I mean, he was telling all kinds of false junk around our college and everything about, and running me down and all that. Well, you know what? my nature wants to kill him in Jesus' name. Amen. My nature wants to meet him behind the building. Can I have amen? I mean, I'm a country boy from North Carolina. And buddy, we know how to fight. Can I have amen? We know how to fight. But I'm going to tell you something. But that's not how you shake off hurt. You don't hurt by destroying. I mean, you don't help your hurt by destroying somebody else. Can I have amen? You don't shake it off that way. And that boy, I'll never forget that old boy. He started, he was, you know, just causing problems. Well, one day we went in the Old Testament Bible class. And we were sitting in there, and I'm sitting in a chair, and across the aisle, he's sitting across in another chair, and he crossed his legs. When he did, I saw a hole in the bottom of his shoe. I saw a hole in the bottom of his shoe. And the Holy Spirit right there said, look, now's your opportunity. Now's your opportunity to help, to shake those hurt feelings off you've got towards him. And all of a sudden, as I'm looking at and I said, Lord, and the Holy Spirit said, go buy him a pair of shoes. Go buy him a pair of shoes. Folks, I only had like $30 left. That's all I had. But thank God for Payless shoes. Amen. Amen. And I remember that day when we came out of class that day, I'm standing there waiting on that boy. And when he came out and he saw me, I was bigger than he was, and I'm standing there. And I said, I need to talk to you. He said, well, I ain't going to talk to you. I said, yes, you are. I said, yes, you are. I said, come out to my car. He said, I'm not coming. I said, yes, you are. I said, you're coming out to my car. I said, if I have to drag you by the head of hair, you're coming by my car. Well, he walked out there with me. I was surprised he walked out there. I opened the door. I said, get in. He said, I ain't getting that car. I said, you're getting in that car. I'm going to put you in that car. Now, that wasn't a Christian love way, amen, but I said, I'm going to put you in that car. He said, okay, and he sat real quiet in the car. I slept the door, got in, and went right down the road there on Candler Road in Decatur, Georgia, and there was a Payless Shoes there. And I went in, and we pulled up there. He said, what are you doing? I said, get out of the car. Get out of the car. He didn't say a word to me there. I didn't say a word to him. We got there. I said, get out of the car. He got out and said, what are you doing? I said, go in there. Come on. Open the door. Come on in. He said, what are you doing? I said, get you a pair of shoes. I said, I'm going to buy you a pair of shoes. He said, you're not going to do it. I said, yes, I am. I said, you're going to get a pair of shoes if I had to put them on your feet. You're going to get a pair. I mean, we were going at it back and forth. And finally, I bought that guy a pair of shoes. We got in the car. He didn't say a word all the way back. I got back there, preacher. He got out of the car, didn't say thank you. He walked back to the dorms there. Few hours passed, and I'm sitting in my room, preacher, and all of a sudden I heard a knock on the door, and I came to the door, and tears, that boy had tears streaming down his face, and he said, I'm sorry for treating you, but he said, let me tell you, he said, I've gotten bitter, he said, I got hurt, he said, people, he was telling about what had happened in his family, and he opened up with me, and we both wept and cried together and prayed together and rejoiced together, and he walked out that door. Can I tell you something? I preached 3 times for that preacher. He's a preacher today. He's my best friend. He's one of my dearest friends. And as long as I keep buying shoes, I'll be his dearest friend. Amen. Can I have amen? Amen. Hey, folks, you say, what are you trying to say? I'm telling you, that's how you shake off hurt feelings. Amen. Hey, when somebody does you wrong in the church, don't get mad, bitter at them, and mad at them and all that stuff and spread rumors about them. Hey, go love them. Amen. Go. Hey, you know in the Bible says something about love your enemies? Love your enemies. Hey, that's where the second mile Christianity kicks in. Amen. When you do, when those that despitefully use you and talk about you and do wrong and stuff, that's where you need to shake it off and decide, I'm going to love them. Amen. Now, they may not love you, but they can't choose whether you love or hate them. Can I have amen? I choose whether I love or hate that person. And I'm telling you, that's how you shake off hurt feelings in the church. And somebody's going to hurt you in the church. Folks, there's people in the church that are going to hurt you sometimes and say wrong things. But you need to learn to shake it off. Amen? Shake it off and just continue. That I'm going to find a way to love those people and help those people. Let me say this. You need to learn to shake off bitterness. Bitterness. Boy, devil put bitterness in you. Can I have amen? Some of you, look, some of you, you say, well, how did I shake off bitterness? Very simple. Forgiveness. Amen. That's simple. Can I have amen? Hey, some of you, look, listen. I want you right now. I want you to think. Now, stay with me. Don't leave me. I want you to think about somebody. I want you to ask the Holy Spirit to reveal somebody in your mind that you have bitterness towards. I guarantee you that there's people sitting here right now. Immediately a face came to your mind. I guarantee there's people sitting here this morning. You've got a lot of bitterness towards them. And maybe they did do you wrong. Can I have amen? But two wrongs don't make a right. Two wrongs don't make a right. And some of you are holding bitterness in your heart. Might be towards your brother, your mama, your daddy, your stepdad, or your loved ones, or friends, or something like that. Some of you are holding bitterness in your heart. And you know what? You can't help them because you can't help anybody else because you're not helping yourself. And you're full of bitterness. And you say, well, how did I do that? Just say, forgive me. Forgive me, Lord. Forgive me for having bitterness in their heart, my heart. Because I'm going to tell you something. You listen to me. You can hold bitterness towards people, but it's going to be hard to get your prayers answered. Can I have amen? I remember years ago, Brother Jerry Whitehart was my pastor. I was a bus director there. Bobby Robertson's son-in-law there in North Carolina. I was his bus director. And Brother Jerry was in the mountains. He's way back in the mountains, pastoring a church. But he had a radio. He was on the radio all over the county, all over them back counties. He was on the radio. He preached every week there. And finally, one day, there was this man that was going on the radio spreading rumors about Brother Jerry and saying don't go to his church and just, you know, just spread false lies and things on the radio about Brother Jerry's church. And Brother Jerry said he got really bitter towards that man. He said, I got really bitter towards that man. But he said, I got really bitter. And he said, but one night I was preaching a revival. A church had him come preach a revival. And Brother Jerry said, that night I was preaching on forgiveness. And while I was preaching, the Holy Spirit put that preacher on my mind while I was preaching. And he said, preacher, I couldn't even hardly finish my sermon because the Holy Spirit was convicting me about that bitterness I had in my heart towards that preacher. And finally, I gave an invitation and I was one of the first ones to hit the altar. And I said, God, forgive me for having bitterness towards that dear preacher in my town that I live in. And he said, he got in his car And he left that meeting. And on the way, Sue, his wife, called and said, Jerry said, Tim, our son is having seizures. And he's burning up with fever. Something's wrong, and we don't know what's going on. And he said, get him to the hospital. And the whole way to the hospital, that boy was jerking and having seizures. They gave him medication. It wouldn't stop it. And Brother Jerry was heading that way quick as he could. But on the way, the Holy Spirit told him, you need to stop at that preacher first. And it was about 2 o'clock in the morning. It was at 2 o'clock. I remember Brother Jerry said it was 2:04. 2:04, 4 minutes after 2 o'clock. As he stood there, because he remembered looking at a clock in that man's house, as that he knocked on the door, and that preacher came to the door in his pajamas. And he came to the door, and when he opened the door and saw Brother Jerry there, all of a sudden, Brother Jerry said, Brother, I'm asking you, forgive me. Forgive me. I forgive you. Would you forgive me, preacher? And all of a sudden, both of those preachers embraced each other. And they began to weep and to cry. And Brother Jerry said, remember holding that preacher, looking at the clock to see what time it was. It was 4 minutes after 2 o'clock. Brother Jerry, he got, they didn't have cell phones, so he couldn't call, you know, from a cell phone. So he got in the car and he rushed to the hospital. And when he got to the hospital, he walked in and Tim was sitting up playing in the bed. And he said, Sue, what happened? She said, I don't know. But at 4 minutes after 2 o'clock, he stopped. Amen. He stopped. Amen. I'm going to tell you something, buddy. When you get right with God and you get that bitterness out of your heart tonight, hey, you got a better chance getting your prayers answered tonight. Amen. I'm telling you, God can't bless a dirty vessel that's full of bitterness. Some of you right now, you need to go. If we're ever going to have revival, you're going to have to shake some things off tonight. You're going to have to shake some bitterness out of your heart tonight. You're going to have to shake it off tonight. Get it out tonight. Shake it off tonight. And get those things out of your heart tonight. And you need tonight, next of all, when that old Satan sticks gossip into you, shake it off. Can I have amen? You say, did you know the devil's always going to try to get you to talk about other people? Can I have amen? My mama used to say, son, if you can't say something good about somebody, don't say it at all. Can I have amen? And I'm saying tonight that when Satan tries to get you to gossip about the man of God, about the church, about people in the church, shake it off tonight. You say, how do I shake it off tonight? Decide you're going to say good things. You're just going to talk about good things. Folks, let me tell you something tonight. When somebody comes to you and wants to say something negative to you about another person, why don't you shake it off by saying, you know what? Just look at my eyeball to eyeball. If you don't have anything good to say about that person, let's don't talk about it. Can I have amen? Let's don't talk about it. Hey, let's talk about what God has done. Let's talk about how good God is. Can I have amen? I mean, learn to say good things by shaking it off that way, by saying good things. Then let me say this, when someone else addresses you out of order. Folks, did you know, how many of you ever addressed somebody out of order? Can I have a... Now, husbands, how many of you ever dressed your wife out of order? Can I have amen? Boy, it's quiet in here now, amen. Hey, how many of you ever dressed your wife out of order? How many of you wives ever dressed your husband out of order? Hey, I know that look. Can I have amen? I know when a woman gives that look. Amen. And you know what? But you know what? Sometimes people are going to dress you out of order about things. And so how are you going to shake it off? Are you ready? Are you ready? Just say, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. You know what? You may not be wrong. But it doesn't make you right to buck up and say, look at them and say, who you think you are? Who you think you are addressing me that way? Can I have amen? Just learn to say, I'm sorry. That's a good way to shake it off. Can I have amen? And then let me say this. When someone attacks you, look for ways to help them. Look for ways to... Let me give you another one. When you feel unloved and rejected. Can I have amen? When you feel unloved and rejected. Folks, listen. What are you talking about? How can I shake it off? Listen to me tonight. Let me tell you something. The biggest venom the devil sinks in your head. I've been around a long time. And one of the biggest venoms that I believe the devil sinks in a person's head. Are you ready? I believe it's this. Are you ready? Between husband and wife, she don't love me anymore. He don't love me anymore. And I guarantee the devil tells you sometimes, she don't love you anymore. And she don't. No, I'm just kidding. Amen. Amen. Hey, but I guarantee you. Look. Hey, you know what the devil tells you? Nobody loves you. The devil tells you, man, husband, wife, the devil tell you, my wife don't love me anymore. The devil tell you, wife, my husband don't love me anymore. Hey, children, the devil's going to tell you, your mom and dad don't love you anymore. Especially when your dad's got horns and smoke coming out of his nostrils. Amen? And he's mad about something. Can I have amen? The devil's going to tell you he don't love you anymore. No, he does love you. He just don't want the devil to sink his venom in you. Amen? And wreck your life. Hey, teenager, look at me. The devil's going to tell you, mama don't love me anymore. Devil don't love me anymore. Preacher, the devil's going to tell you your people don't love you anymore. You know why? He's going to be sitting on the platform one day and he's going to look out across the auditorium and look at your faces. And he don't see love in some of your faces. Like I said, some of you look like your mother-in-law just moved in with you. Amen. I pick on mother-in-laws. But I get along. I love my mother. I get along great with my mother-in-law. She's in heaven and I'm here on earth. Amen. But anyway, amen. Amen. You know, my mother-in-law was about killed in a church parking lot, brother. She about got run over. Then my truck stalled. Amen and amen. But anyway, amen. Oh, boy. Amen. But anyway, did y'all hear about, do you hear about the old boy is... That boy walked along, kicked a genie lamp. And genie came out, you know, and he said, all right, said, you got 3 wishes, but everything you wish for, your mother-in-law is going to get double. He said, oh, okay. He said, I want $1 million. He said, okay, you get $1 million, but your mother-in-law is going to get $2 million. Said, okay, poof. He got $1 million, she got $2 million. He said, well, what's that? He said, I want a mansion. He said, okay, but you get a mansion, your mother-in-law's going to get 2 mansions. He said, okay, poof. He got a mansion. She got two mansions. He said, what's your third wish? He thought a minute. He said, I want you to beat me half to death. Amen. Amen. All right. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. And hey, listen, I'm telling you, the devil tells you nobody loves. Did you know the devil even tell you sometimes God don't even love you? God don't care about you. And folks, I'm telling you, he'll sick that venom in you tonight. But you know what you got to do? You got to look at the devil. You got to look at the devil and tell him, this is how I shake it off. I say, yes, my God does love me. Amen. Yes, my God, a God that there is somebody that loves me. So much that he sent his son to die on the cross for me, buddy, and save my soul from hell, buddy. I do have somebody that loves me. Amen. I got a God that loves me. And buddy, I'm telling you, you have to be look around and see who does love you. You're forgetting about who does love you. And when you do that, it'll shake it off. Can I have amen? It'll shake off that love. I got a cord tonight. Amen. And thank you, brother. And then look at the next one here. When people do things the way you don't do it. Can I have amen? Well, I tell you what, I wouldn't do it that way. I wouldn't do it that way. I've seen that in the church, you know, and stuff. And brother, quit pointing at your wife. Amen. And I wouldn't do it that way. Amen. Don't get mad at me, ma'am. He's pointing. I'm not pointing. Amen. He said, I wouldn't do it that way. That's not the way I do it. I tell you what, I'm going to give them a piece of my mind. Amen. Well, you better not, because that may be all you have left. Amen. Can I have amen? I'm going to give them a piece of my mind, and I'm going to do, hey, listen, you know what? Won't you learn? Look, not everybody in this building is the same. Not everybody does it the way everybody else does it. Can I have amen? I pastored Yankees. I pastored in Michigan. Can you imagine a southern boy up there? And they for sure didn't do it the way I do it. No, sir, but they didn't even eat the way I eat. Can I have amen? Buddy, I wanted fried meat, collard greens. I mean, fried fat back, collard greens, and cornbread and stuff like that. You know what they eat? Casseroles. Amen. Casseroles. Amen. Folks, the only role I want is when I get to heaven, it's called. Amen. Amen. Casseroles. Amen. Casserole. We're having a dinner at church. Casseroles. Amen. And I said, oh, God, give me some collard greens. Amen. And some fried pork chop, fried chicken. Amen. I told them, Yankees, I said, I'm telling y'all something right now, Yankees. You might as well enjoy them casserole here because they ain't going to be in heaven. Amen. They are not going to be in heaven. And you'll be southern when you get to heaven. You'll like collard greens. Can I have amen? And but you say, what are you trying to say? You know what I had? You know what I had learned to do? I had learned to set their ways. You know, I had learned to set their ways. I'll tell you what, I didn't think much Yankees things like that until I saw the dedication they had. I mean, let me tell you something. I'm Southern. But I wouldn't do some of the stuff they do. I wouldn't climb under a church bus and work on a church bus when it's 30 below zero. But they did. I saw them out there taking torches and freeze the brake lines on them buses. Amen. So we could run those buses on Sunday morning. And I'm not kidding. There's one morning I went out. It was like 30-something below zero up there. Folks, that's cold. That's cold as a mother-in-law's kiss. Amen. Amen. That's cold. Amen. Can I have amen? Folks, and that's cold there, but buddy, you know what? I learned to set their ways and they learned to set my ways. Amen. I said, if we're going to work for the Lord, what all that matters is that we're working for the Lord. Amen. We're working for the same goal. Amen. That's to keep people out of hell. Amen. It's to build a church for the glory of God. And don't get all bent out of shape. Well, they don't do it my way. You know what I'm saying? Don't be a 50, 60, 70, 80-year-old baby. Amen. Learn to accept the way. Say, well, my pastor said that's the way we're going to do it. We're going to do it. Can I have amen? Buddy, I tell you what, I'd like to go with my daddy and say, hey, Daddy, I don't like that way. Amen. I know what my daddy would have done. Amen. I know what my dad, man. My dad would have. My dad, listen, my dad, would to God, when I was a kid, we'd have had timeouts. Can I have amen? I wish I'd have had timeouts. I'd been hollering, timeout, Daddy, timeout. Amen. Why, he was woofing me all over that yard. Amen. My dad gave me my first dancing lessons. Amen. I know what breakdancing is. Can I have amen? Amen, folks. I know what breakdancing is. My dad, buddy, I wish God I'd have had 800 abuse line numbers. I'd call that thing every day. Amen. Amen, brother. And if I'd gone, my dad, well, I don't like that way, Daddy, you know. My dad put 11 boots somewhere. Can I have amen? Hey. You know what, folks? Grow up. Amen. Grow up and shake it off and just go on and say, we're in this thing for God. Amen. We're in this thing. And I go all over the place, all over the nation, preaching in churches everywhere. And there's people that are saying, well, that's not our way. Listen, if that preacher's not doctrinally wrong, that preacher stands on the blood of Christ, that preacher stands on the old King James Bible, stands on soul winning, and stands on standards and living for God, hey, forget the rest of ways. Amen. It ain't going to hurt you. Amen. It's not going to hurt you. Learn to shake it off. And then let me say this. When life is unfair, don't blame God or blame others. Can I have amen? Folks, sometimes life is... young people, kids, look at preacher up here. Look up here. Everybody look up here. Life is not always fair. Can I have amen? Life is not fair. Brother, cancer is not fair. It doesn't fight fair. It doesn't fight fair. I'm sure this man had a godly wife, loved the Lord just like I did. One of the most praying women. I mean, she prayed, walked with God every morning, got in her Bible, went soul winning, won people Christ, godly wife, pastor's wife, mama, loved God, but yet her bones snapping like a toothpick. Hey, cancer don't fight fair. Life is not fair. And sometimes it's going to be that way. And what the worst thing, you either going to get bitter or better when you go through those problems. But I have learned, look, I've seen people blame God. They blame God for those things. They're mad at God. Folks, I'm saying tonight, shake it off tonight. Don't blame God on these things. Use it for a stepping stone. Amen. Use it for God to do great things in your life. I had a preacher call me today, just today. I had a preacher call me today, and he said, Brother Brian, he said, I want to have a day at our church, and we're gonna reach as many people with cancer as we can. And I want you and your wife come. Her husband died with cancer. My wife died with cancer. And he said, I want you to come and speak that day. And he said, we're going to advertise in the paper. Anybody knows anybody, and we're going to have a couple cancer survivors there. And we're going to have a special day just for families that are going through cancer with their loved ones and everything. You know what he's going to do? And by the way, this preacher, you know, and this preacher, he's dealt with some things in the past with his family cancer. And guess what he's using it for? A stepping stone to get people saved. Amen. You see what I'm saying? He didn't get mad at God. He said, I'm going to use it. Amen. I'm going to use it for the Lord and shake it off that way. And then last of all, let me say this. And this is probably the most important. Are you ready? The devil is going to try to seek venom in you when you fail. When you fail. Let me tell you something. Some of you got excited this week about soul winning. And there's going to come time you might fail at it. Can I have amen? I hope not. But there come times that you may fail at being a soul winner when you should. How many of you ever said, I'm going to start reading my Bible every day? And you failed at it. You see what I'm saying? How many times you ever said, I'm going to start praying every day and have my prayer time, my devotion, and you failed at it? You failed at it. You see, there's going to be times that you fail as a Christian. And the old devil says, I knew I had you. I knew you couldn't do it. I knew you couldn't be a good soul winner. I knew you couldn't live for God. I knew you couldn't. And he's going, you know what the devil likes to do, brother? You know, you're just sitting on the front row, so you're my guinea pig. And you know what the devil likes to do? He likes to see you fail. And when you fail, he likes to take and just smear it in your face. Can I have amen? He likes to take it and just smear it in your face and tell you what a failure you are. What a sorry, no good for nothing, low down Christian you are. Can I have amen? And he wants you to fail. And you say, well, preacher, how can I shake it off? I'll tell you how you can shake it off. The Bible said that, the Bible talks about that if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us of all our unrighteousness. Amen. You say, what did I do? Confess it. Just confess it. Lord, I failed. I failed. And get back up. Amen. Get back because you are forgiven. Amen. You are forgiven the moment you confess it. The moment you confess it. I'll even say this. When I was in Bible college, I had just gotten a place, preacher. I had a situation happen that really upset me. And I was busy, you know, I was busy working all the time. I mean, you're in Bible college. I'd work all night long on Friday night. I'd work all night long on Friday night. And then I'd get off and rush to the bus meeting on Saturday morning. And I'd go to bus meeting. And then I'd go work my bus route. Well, my bus route, I run over 200 and some on my bus route. I mean, I had like 3-4 buses I was in charge of at Forest Hills Baptist Church, Dr. Hudson's church. And I had built that bus route up. Matter of fact, on a big day, we had like 440 some on our bus route. And I mean, I worked hard. I mean, just to visit my regulars, it would take 8-9 hours just to visit regulars. Not get new ones, just visit regulars. And so I would go and work my route all day Saturday, and then I'd go home and sleep about 2 hours. Get up, go back to work, work all night long, get off the next morning, go jump in my bus, and go run my bus route. And when we didn't even have big promotions and stuff, I would get home about 4 o'clock on Sunday afternoon. And I preached and teached and everything and run a bus route. And then I'd sleep about 2 hours, get up, go to church Sunday night, leave after church and go work all night long, and then go to Bible college. I have to be at Bible college by 8 o'clock that next morning and go till 1 o'clock, and then I'd go home and die. Amen. But I worked day and night and going to Bible college and trying... And then, you know, preacher, it got where I wasn't praying. It got where I was failing in my Bible reading. I was failing in my walk with God. That's why they say in Bible college, the most easiest place to backslide. You get so busy looking what you're doing something for God and doing nothing for God. You have no relationship with God. Well, I got further and further away from God, and then I started messing up on my finances, and I got to starting to get behind on my school bill and things like that. And finally, I just said, that's it. I failed so much, I don't even know why I'm doing all this. And so I had to go home for a semester. And I said, I'm going to go home for a semester, and I'm going to decide whether I'm going to quit or not. And I was ready to just throw in the towel and quit. And I failed, and the devil was just rubbing it in my face, brother. The devil was just saying, here you are called to preach. You're not even in Bible college anymore. And you don't. And I got a job working at a cotton mill, an old cotton mill in South China Grove, North Carolina. I was working at old cotton mill in a spinner room. And brother, I was the most miserable Christian in the world. The devil was just rubbing it in my, you failed. There's no need to even trying anymore. And I was ready to give up. I was just ready to throw in the towel. And so on Sunday night, thank God I was going to church. I hadn't quit church. But on that Sunday, my pastor at the church, he had no idea some of the struggles I was dealing with. And he walked up to me and he pulled out a cassette tape. And he said, brother, he said, I want you to hear this cassette tape. That I think it'll be a blessing to you. He had no idea that what that sermon was. He says, Dr. Curtis Hudson, your old pastor, he said, I just want you to listen to it. I went to my home that night, and my mom and dad were gone down to grandma's down east, grandma and them's house. I'm sitting in the living room, Brother Rick, that night. And I'm by myself. Nobody's home. And I said, well, I thought about that cassette player. And I went and got it out of my coat. And I put it in, a cassette player. And I began to listen. And preacher, it was a sermon, the very sermon that God called me to preach under at the Sword of the Lord Conference. And I couldn't believe it. God sorting a man was the name of it. God needs a man to fill the gap. Out of Jeremiah there. And it was the same sermon God called me to preach under. But there was a story. It wasn't a sermon that got my heart that night. It was a story, an illustration that Dr. Hudson used in that sermon that night. And this was the illustration. He said there were these scientists that had an aquarium. They had an aquarium and they put a bass in there, a bass fish. And that bass was swimming around in there. And then they took a glass partition and put it in the middle. And then they put a little minnow in that other side. And that bass saw that minnow. And that bass struck to get that minnow. But when he did, when he went after that minnow, all of a sudden he hit that glass partition and bounced off. And then just a few seconds, he circled around again, and he went after that minnow again, and it hit that glass partition, and he bounced off again. He bounced off again. Well, then he waited a minute or two. The bass is getting a little smart now. And then all of a sudden, Dr. Hutch said, that bass, in a few minutes, 3, 4, 5 minutes, he waited. He struck again, hit the glass partition. And then he just swam around. And then they took that glass partition out. And all of a sudden, that minnow just swam around that bass. And he never struck again. Dr. Hudson said, if that bass had only struck one more time, he'd have had what he was supposed to get. And God said, son, why don't you strike again? Why don't you hit at it again? Amen. And when I said that, and the Holy Spirit of God got a hold of my heart, and I said, God, forgive me, God, forgive me for being cold-hearted, God. Forgive me for not wanting to serve God anymore, wanting to do anything for God. And I said, God, I'm going back and I'm going to strike again. Amen. And buddy, I packed my bags and went back to Bible college. And buddy got on my knees and confessed to God and said, God, I'm sorry, God. I'm sorry, God, for failing as a Christian. And now, today, God is using me because I struck that one time back and got what God's will was for my life. Can I have amen? I'm telling you this tonight. Whatever things that the devil tries to sink that venom in you, shake it off. Shake it off tonight. Hey, I'm telling you, shake it off tonight. Amen. And let God use you tonight. And let God do great things in your life. Some of you tonight, the very things I preached on tonight, you're dealing with tonight. You're dealing with tonight. Why don't you decide tonight as a Christian, you're going to shake it off tonight. Can I have amen? Decide tonight that, you know, some of you, you failed. You failed in areas and you feel like the devil has just smeared in your face that you can't do it again. Oh, yes, you can. Amen. Oh, yes, you can. You decide tonight that you're going to shake it off. I'm going to ask you if you would please stand to your feet tonight.